An animated book opens and a city begins to form on its pages. Skyscrapers rise floor by floor, walls cover scaffolding, and a main road rolls out like a carpet. A sign folds onto a glowing marquee. Amazon Studios. A strip of tape flattens over a crack. A&E Indie Films. Subtitles appear over black. There is a threat against me on a social media channel that belongs to ISIS. A man with short hair and a dark beard looks in a mirror as he puts on a black tie. But I can't be scared. As we say in Raqqa, death is death. With a serious expression, he folds down his collar. Filming his feet, a man in shorts and sandals passes a woman in a burqa on the sidewalk. In an ornate lobby, the man in the tie greets another dark-haired man in a suit. They hug, then step through security. Footage shows an armed guard blocking a road. The men in suits mingle.
We'll try to find some relaxation.
Yeah, actually, we always found some relax. After the long day of walking at night, we have some way to find fun, especially here in New York.
Yeah. Well, congratulations.
Thank you
for what you do. I think the whole world is inspired by your efforts. And keep fighting.
Thank you.
Guests fill a hall. These are the Raqqa guys. The situation is difficult everywhere, certainly. Some situations are atrocious, but others are way more atrocious. So atrocious. One of the Raqqa men smiles politely. A man aims at a bound hostage. The three Raqqa men pose for a photo.
Fabulous. Okay. Maybe a little smile, possibly.
A man holds his award with a heavy expression.
You're so serious, my friend.
He stares ahead as she snaps a photo, flashing to the black ISIS flag waving over a dusty Middle Eastern city. The men walk with their awards. A man speaks at a podium in a darkened banquet room.
Everyone in this room can name real journalistic heroes. And yet the men and women of Raqqa's being slaughtered silently are somehow singular. They work in secret and under constant threat, reporting on the depredations of ISIS in their home city. Some have fled in fear for their own lives. Even in exile, they are in no way safe. It's incredibly, incredibly humbling to present the 2015 International Press Freedom Award to the brave men and women of Raqqa as being slaughtered silently.
The man in the black tie takes the stage with a Syrian opposition flag draped over his shoulders. He shakes the presenter's hand, accepts the award, and steps to the podium. He collects himself, then stares out into the crowd. Stage lights white out the view, flashing to an army marching at sunset. A man raises a black flag. Amazon Studios presents, with A&D Indie Films, an Our Time Projects production, in association with Jigsaw Productions, a film by Matthew Heineman, City of Ghosts. Hazy sunlight glimmers on the surface of a calm river. This is a story about Raqqa, our forgotten Syrian city on the Euphrates River, that is now known as the capital of the Islamic State. And that has become a city of ghosts. But for us, it was and will remain home. A road leads over the river and into a city of sand-colored buildings, Raqqa, Syria. Residents on foot and in buses bustle around a city square. Raqqa was a simple and isolated city. The people of my city are known for their generosity and sacrifice. A man plays a drum and sings. Weddings can continue for days. Guests dance on a rooftop with finely set tables and a pool. And when one house was happy on your street, happiness would fill the entire neighborhood. For us, life was relatively normal. Two men pop a wheelie on a motorcycle. People swim the river. But then, everything changed. After living under the Assad regime for 40 years, we started to scream for freedom. At a rally, people wave Syrian independence flags, a young girl on a man's shoulders. What do we ask for? Freedom. What do we ask for? Freedom. Assad, you liar. Our freedom is at our doorsteps. Go ahead and leave, Assad. Leave, leave, Assad. Syria made headlines in the Arab Spring with a defiance that had never been expressed before. A man stares out from atop a ruin. A group of schoolboys sprayed graffiti on the wall of a school. A quote, the people want the fall of the regime. They were arrested and tortured. 15 kids were the spark that ignited the fire throughout Syria. At night, protesters of all ages fill the streets waving flags of the Syrian opposition. Now, phone camera footage shows young men hiding a short distance away from a group of soldiers. Raqqa, March 2012. The young men watch in the direction of the sound, then run and dive for cover. Later, shaky footage shows flames and smoke erupting in the streets. Young men carry an injured civilian and set him on the street. Blood splatters the ground as the man gazes vacantly toward the sky and the others tend to him. Another man kneels in the street, holding up his arms before the small army. I never expected to join the revolution against the Assad regime. A Facebook photo shows a younger picture of the man in the black tie. I was just a college student and wasn't even active in politics. Another photo shows him smiling with a group of friends. I spent my time partying and causing trouble, but I grew up fast. A video from a protest shows him marching with the others. The Syrian revolution changed us. Now he faces the camera with a hardened look. Aziz, spokesman. A Facebook profile shows a man in sunglasses. I taught high school. Young men march. While I was still in class teaching, one of my students was arrested. I couldn't stay silent anymore. Now in profile, he exhales smoke. Mohammed, reporter. On a street in Raqqa, he reports. It's the revolution of oppressed people who want freedom, justice, dignity, equality. Hopefully, we will be victorious in the end. A Facebook profile shows a man wearing glasses. I was an introvert, a hermit. I was obsessed with filming. I used to film almost everything. Wearing a black hoodie, he stares into the camera with a haunted look. Hamoud, cameraman. Footage shows burning ruins belching black smoke. This is the city of Raqqa. These are the streets of the Euphrates. My father was very afraid for me. A man fires at a building, then retreats. He used to tell me, stay away from journalism so I don't have to worry about a stray bullet killing you. Men carry the injured in a rug. But danger has a special taste. Hamoud's footage freezes on his shadow. So I filmed the rebels fighting against Assad. Now Hamoud records a group of locals toppling a 20-foot-tall stone statue of Hafez al-Assad. This is the first province to be freed from the hands of the Assad regime. This is how tyrants fall. The statue falls and its head smashes into a barrier. Men descend upon it, pounding it with fists. In an ornate mosque, a man with a long gray beard slowly makes his way up steps to a microphone. July 5th, 2014. Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, leader of ISIS.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Hundreds of gathered young men bow. Praise the Prophet and his followers and his soldiers. Your brothers in battle were blessed with victory and expansion of territory. Footage shows armed men in cars draped in the ISIS black standard flag parading through city streets. So we declared a caliphate, a paradise where rivers flow, in the gardens of Eden. Dozens of vehicles stream into the city, men waving black standards and automatic rifles out the windows. In the mosque, Baghdadi stares at the crowd. This is God's will. Kneeling, the men bow their heads to meet the floor. Footage shows a large dump truck with a black standard towing a missile launcher past gathered locals. Raqqa, July 2014. Two large tanks follow in its wake, its men holding up their arms and waving black flags. In the power vacuum left by the revolution, a new group invaded Raqqa. Its members held a black flag and called themselves the Islamic State. Now, shaky footage shows a man walking towards a city square. We filmed them secretly when they arrived. And we filmed them when they asked people to gather in Freedom Square. Masked militants mill around the gathered crowd as one reads a script. The crimes of the tyrant Assad got worse by the day. But the Islamic State in Iraq and the Levant is now here. He signals to the masked men, who shoot three blindfolded locals in the back of the head. They raise their weapons above their heads as the dead men slump on the steps of the monument. They raise a flag, holding up rifles and RPG launchers. Almost immediately, the Islamic State cut Raqqa off from the rest of the world. A man rides a motorcycle through the empty city. The only news coming out from the city was propaganda media circulated by the so-called Islamic State. A militant speaks to a crowd at night. You're part of the prophecy. Allah chose your fate. We have declared a new caliphate. Be with those who follow the religion of Allah. Join us. Before we enforce it on you, be with the believers before God's punishments are done unto you. Chant. God is great. Chant. God is great. The man rides his motorcycle at night. At first glance, they seemed like other militant groups. But we soon realized that this group was unlike anything the world had seen before. A civilian stands bound to a crossbar in a truck full of masked ISIS militants as they roll through town. They painted our city black and shrouded it in darkness. The militant makes the hostage look at the camera as they pass. We couldn't sit by and watch Raqqa being slaughtered silently. Did you start filming? Yes. At night, a young man in a ski mask runs out in front of the camera and spray paints Arabic letters on a wall. The English appears next to them. Down with ISIS. Back then, the main goal was to raise awareness among local civilians. But soon, the situation started getting worse. Handheld footage passes through a small crowd of gathered locals to find four bodies sprawled on the sidewalk outside a gate, their heads impaled on spikes. Executions and detentions were happening randomly, but there weren't any reports in Arab media or in international media. Thousands of people gather in the street. We had to do something with more power. We had to turn the spotlight on our city and show people the truth about ISIS and what was going on inside Raqqa. A view races through the city streets. These were the first screams of RBSS. A blood-splattered logo appears over burning wreckage. Raqqa is being slaughtered silently. We started a Facebook page and started to post in English through Twitter in order to amplify civilian voices to the international community. A news interview. Mr. Naji, you've trained hundreds of citizen journalists. Talk to me about this. He is the protester and the activist, the neighbor at the window. What has happened in Syria is real citizen journalism. Naji teaches in a classroom. Naji Jerf, aka the uncle, is the father figure for the campaign. He trained us as citizen journalists to show us the pen is mightier than the sword. Naji writes on a whiteboard. And day by day, our work advanced and was picked up on Arabic channels. Hashtag Raqqa is being slaughtered silently is the campaign launched by students in Raqqa. These young men seek to draw the world's attention to what is happening inside their province. ISIS detained at least 1,200 people and committed many massacres in the city. We punctured a hole in the darkness.
Public executions in what was Raqqa's paradise square. Anyone considered an enemy of ISIS is killed here, their bodies put on display.
CNN shows RBSS's footage. ISIS had a major reaction to the campaign. A group of militants stand with raised fists. People started asking, what is Raqqa is being slaughtered silently? A dense crowd of militants gather and point at a leader as he chants. O God, freeze the blood in their veins and stop their breaths, O Lord. God, make it a fire in their graves. It only took a few weeks, and then tragedy struck. A view from the driver's seat of a car approaches a guarded checkpoint. A masked man checks the driver's ID. This is a very old ID. This is a fake ID. No, Sheikh, I swear to God. But it's torn here. It's fake. Our friend Motez was detained at a checkpoint. The guard eyes the phone. Are you filming? He was arrested and they took him to prison. After torturing him, they searched his laptop and found information and the logo of the movement. They tortured him more and asked, who are these people? What are you working on? You're against the Islamic State. Now a public execution. In the name of God the Merciful, the punishment for those who fight God. Three kneeling men with bags over their heads are shot by masked ISIS militants. At night, people set small burning lanterns into the river and watch them float away. After they shot Motez, a chain of assassinations began. News shows men carrying a coffin.
By the time the emergency services showed up, all they could do was carry out the bodies of Faris Hamadi and Ibrahim Abdelkader. Both were members of a group of activists who risked their lives to tell the world what's going on in their hometown of Raqqa. Both men were beheaded.
The young men smile in photos. Now a view travels an empty road. We had two options, stay in the city and face death, or leave. So we decided to flee Raqqa. Some of us fled to Germany, while others stayed just across the border in Turkey. And that's when the real war began, between ISIS and us. A flock of birds fly past minarets that rise above a hazy city. Gaziantep, Turkey, Turkish-Syrian border. A dense cluster of low buildings surround a central mosque, RBSS safe house. In a small apartment, two men work at laptops. A man in a knit cap slouches in an armchair while the other one, Mohammed, sits at a desk. He smokes and sips coffee as he watches a video of himself dancing with his wife at their wedding. In all my life, I never thought of leaving Raqqa. But I didn't have a choice. Even though we're on the outside, we're still trying to fight the most dangerous organization in the world. He types an article in Arabic as the wedding video plays. It's our source in Raqqa. He answers his phone on speaker. Yes, yes, in quotes, Ibrahim.
Hello.
Hello? Right now, Raqqa is in the worst state it's ever been. ISIS is taking. Muhammad lowers his head. Ibrahim?
Ibrahim. Hello?
He ends the call, then scrolls through the group's Facebook feed. Muhammad goes to the door and peers through the peephole.
Hello?
He opens up to a young man with a backpack. He sits on the bed, sets up his laptop, and rolls up his sleeves. So what's the story? Three airstrikes. Our source might be sending us more news that we can post in a couple hours. Did you get pictures and videos? Not yet. The internet in Raqqa is very bad. Uploading the files will take a very long time. We may have to wait until tonight to get the videos. He types, there are no casualties, then turns to Muhammad. You have a problem with the accent marks. You have to teach me the accents. It's an ongoing problem with me. When they taught that class, I skipped it. That's why he became a math teacher. I'm a math guy. Ask me about prime numbers and things like that. No problem. Ask me about verses, grammar, etc. I don't want anything to do with them. Will you teach again? If I find kids, I will teach them. The guy in the cap, Sarmad, my dream in life is to get married before I die. We'll get you married, don't worry. I'm not optimistic about that. You'll get married, be patient. The guy on the bed plays a music video and sings along, eyeing Sarmad. Yes, you love her, you love her, yes, you love her. She's living alone without you. His smile fades as he takes a drag of a cigarette, blowing the smoke out through his nose. We are constantly living on the run from ISIS, and even though we've changed houses a lot, ISIS has been able to gather information about us. They post pictures online with our names and photos of where we live. An Arabic Facebook post from a masked member of ISIS translates, I liked the entrance to your home. I look forward to seeing you next time. A photo shows stairs leading to a door. Sarmad furrows his brow as he stares at the screen. Now, a train speeds over a bridge spanning the Rhine River. Germany. Aziz's reflection appears in elevator doors as he rides it up the floors. At any moment, we might lose any one of us. I was lucky enough to make it to Germany, but I feel guilty because a lot of the guys are still in Turkey or Syria. The elevator doors open, and Aziz steps into a dim hallway. He goes to a door on the end and fiddles with his keys to unlock it. RBSS safe house, undisclosed location, Germany. He heads inside. Later, Aziz sits at a table in shorts, a t-shirt, and baseball cap, with his feet propped on the chair in front of him. He swallows hard as he looks at the Facebook profile of a guy in sunglasses on his phone.
My brother was living in Raqqa, and he was sending to me information, so he couldn't stay there anymore. So he decided to leave. He took the boat like all the Syrians. All the people who are fleeing from the war. And he died in the sea.
Aziz rubs his exhausted eyes, pinching them with his fingers, then lights a cigarette. He scrolls through photos on his brother's profile.
Sometimes if I want to send to him a message, I send it to him by Facebook. Maybe he will get it.
He types out a message. I miss you, Musa. My brother. I am broken. He sends it. He shuts his eyes and swallows, scratching his beard with a faraway look. On set in a studio, cameras aim at Aziz and another member of RBSS, Hassan. An interviewer sits off camera.
Perfect.
Aziz, how is life in Raqqa today? Life in Raqqa. There is no life in Raqqa. ISIS has restricted all aspects of life. There are no schools, no universities, no hospitals. Sometimes there's no electricity for 3 or 4 days or even a week. And that's the problem. The dire situation is why many civilians join ISIS.
Okay.
A lot of people are wondering, how are you funded? In general, we all come from middle-class families, so we were self-funded for the first 9 months. After that, we were able to get support from NGOs. Okay, you are showing your faces. Aren't you scared that they might find you? The camera's display shows their uneasy faces. At night, Aziz and Hassan watch an ISIS execution video on Aziz's phone. 5 hostages kneel before militants.
Islamic State, our country, is here to stay. These spies and those who came before them challenge the might of the Islamic State.
Do we know them? Aziz nods.
We say to you, you will lose this war. But this time, when you lose, your children will inherit your defeat and remember you as the fools who thought they could fight the Islamic State. Allahu Akbar!
He aims at the back of a man's head. Hassan looks away, then rubs his face. May God curse them. The screen shows one of the captured men falling to the ground in slow motion. Aziz looks at his lap. Now, a view closes in on the desolate city, Raqqa, Syria. A hand covers the lens, then shows a man's shadow as he walks to his motorcycle. Later, he rides. We are now made up of 2 teams. The internal group is in Raqqa and is made up of around 17 correspondents. The man filming rides past an ornate building with tall arches. ISIS headquarters. The RBSS logo appears as he snaps a photo. More photos show ISIS meetings and an execution. The internal group's mission is to film, photograph, and deliver urgent news. Footage shows dozens of young children with empty buckets lined up near a truck. Subtitles, In the Name of God, Raqqa's Relief Kitchen. An external member edits the footage on his laptop. The primary mission of the external group is to communicate with the team inside. On the phone, Rashidi, go to the door. A girl is going to bring you stuff. She's wearing a deep red headscarf. The internal group then sends us the information. With Mohammed, there's a big airstrike in the north from our correspondent in Ain Issa. Can I send it to you to post? Sarmad, sure. We, the external group, then distribute it to the world. The guys edit a video. The clip is ready. I'm going to publish it online now. A CNN Chiron reads, Life in Raqqa, a nightmare under ISIS.
ISIS propaganda photos purport to show a calm city. Its fighters boast about enjoying their favorite imported food. But these photos show otherwise, say activists inside Raqqa. Children line up for handouts at an emergency soup kitchen. Chronic food shortages and hyperinflation. Hospitals are empty of supplies. The start of a terrifying cycle to daily life in the ISIS stronghold.
Hamoud watches the news. Maybe we can't change what's happening, but we can place pressure on the powers that be. An RBSS member looks out his window at night. Hopefully our campaign will prevail, and one day we'll go back to the city. A group member takes a last look, then slides a curtain over the window. Under an overcast sky, trains speed past each other. Inside one, Hamoud stares out his window as trees rush by. He unlocks a nondescript apartment door and slips inside. Later, he works on his laptop. During the revolution against Assad, I used to edit photos and video. He opens his phone to change the SIM card. In my opinion, a camera is more powerful than a weapon. And that's why whoever holds the camera is stronger. On his laptop, sparks emblazon a logo. When ISIS first came to Raqqa, it used to spread its propaganda through CDs. They were very poorly made videos that looked like they were filmed with phones. An old ISIS video shows a man with his face blurred sitting at a desk reading a script. But then ISIS decided to work on its media more than its weapons. So any video produced after the takeover of Raqqa is professionally made in order to recruit people to their paradise. A highly edited ISIS video shows men swimming, raising weapons, and fighting.
For the sake of Allah! For the sake of Allah, we will march through the gates of the paradise where our maidens await.
The Islamic State is in great need of men that have strong media skills so they can bring the real news to people. In movie quality, insurgents fire across a desert. A raised tripod cam films a tank. A truck drives over an IED and explodes. Big productions using Hollywood techniques, which can be compared to films with high production values. Men escape an explosion in super slow motion. No matter what the video is about, it always has the same effects and the same professionalism in order to attract supporters. Crosshairs focus on a civilian, then fire. Like the famous video game, Grand Theft Auto, militants fire weapons out of a speeding car. Why play it on the computer or internet when you can play it in real life? ISIS shoots up a van full of people. A militant waves the black standard in slow motion. This is the media war that ISIS is now waging to recruit for their so-called Islamic State. ISIS tanks roll into a city. But ISIS doesn't represent the Islam I know. They exploit Islam for their personal gain and use videos to do it. A masked militant walks a railroad at sunset with two pistols at his sides. He aims them at two kneeling hostages. Now Hamoud sits in his room. After my father's video was released, I didn't pay attention to the effects. I only paid attention to what happened at the end. Hamoud rides a car on a rainy night. He rubs his beard as he gazes outside. 2 months after the campaign began, ISIS offered a reward for my assassination or any information about me. As he anxiously waits on a train platform, his breath condenses in the chilly air. Then, when ISIS realized they couldn't get me, they arrested my father. In his apartment, Hamoud sits with his laptop. I watch the video a lot. It gives me strength. On screen, an older bearded man sits in darkness. Glowing sound waves move behind him as he speaks. I am the father of the fugitive Hamoud al-Musa, who is fighting the Islamic State. Hamoud rests his chin on his hands as he watches, unblinking. His heavy eyes focus intently on the screen. I advise every father, watch over your sons. Sitting on a bed, a younger man watches the same footage. Hassan, Hamoud's brother. On screen, the footage focuses on his father's shackled wrists. Hassan bites his lip. On screen, three captives stand tied to posts as three ISIS militants emerge from the darkness and take their places in front of the bound men. The camera focuses on their ropes. A militant peels a blindfold off Hassan's father. He cocks his weapon and aims at the father's head. The view zooms in on the militant's camo shirt as it pans to his gun. Hamoud watches the same video as the view continues past the militant's weapon to zero in on his father's face. Hamoud blinks and fidgets. The video flashes between the barrel of the gun and his father hanging his head. The flashes of the gunshots reflect on Hamoud's stoic face. He takes a long blink. He stares at the image of his father, who now slumps motionless over his bindings. Hamoud leans back against the wall, swallows hard, then pulls in a deep breath and closes his eyes. In the end, we are Muslim, and we believe that he has gone to heaven. Hamoud pulls in a deep breath. Thank God.
Alhamdulillah.
He pulls in his lips, holding back emotion. He gets a tissue and dabs inside his mouth, then shows it off screen. When I get angry, blood comes out. He nods as he bites down on the bloodied tissue. Elsewhere, Hassan stares at the paused video. He drops his head to his chest. I don't know. Keeping his eyes down, he fiddles with his phone, then shows a photo of a smiling man. This is our older brother, Ahmed. Two weeks ago, we received news that ISIS executed him also. They executed our brother and father so that we'd stop. But we're going to continue. He stares at the paused video of his father. I promise you, we're going to continue. The Black Standard waves over the crumbling city, Raqqa, Syria. A handful of people bike and walk the littered streets. A view from a motorcycle rumbles along a road. Since our campaign began, ISIS has taken extreme measures to stop our members from working in Raqqa. Phone video shows a civilian with a militant, then ISIS members searching a truck. They set up checkpoints and started searching people in their cell phones, looking for recording equipment. An internal member wears a balaclava. Getting information out of Raqqa is an almost impossible task. In quotes, Raqqa 12, RBSS correspondent. Footage shows ISIS escorting a bound captive to the city square. ISIS either kidnaps, kills, or simply disappears anyone it declares a media activist. The militants hang the limp, bagged captive on a crossbar with a sign. Civilians crowd around to read it. They track our every move, every photo and video we post. They are always trying to capture us. A view follows a van with an open door. We use satellite internet, but ISIS traces the signal with vehicles that drive around. So your device can only be on a short time, and in that time, you need to encrypt and send the information. In a pitch-black room, the correspondent copies files onto a computer. Elsewhere, an external member edits the video. We learned from the mistakes we made with Mutez, because he had RBSS materials when he was captured. So once the information is sent, it is immediately erased from the internal group's devices. An external member works at a restaurant. Okay, good. I'm in the room. The external group has a department specifically for blurring out information about people who may be in danger. The group member circles a bystander on a video and blurs them. And to protect the safety of our reporters, we wait for the right moment to upload the material. Mohammed uploads content, then hits publish. Our correspondents working inside Raqqa, these are the people history should be written about. Internal correspondent, Raqqa 12. I certainly accept the idea that I could be murdered. But the most important thing to me is that the campaign does not end. The view zooms in on his eyes. This is our message to ISIS. If you think killing three or four campaign members will stop the campaign, it will not. A photo shows ISIS publicly cutting off a man's hand. The killings and slaughters that are taking place in the city, the hardships that people are living with, poverty, hunger, disease, ISIS blocking people from leaving the city, using them as human shields. Photos show women in full niqabs waiting with buckets and civilians clutching an injured man. This is the state of the raped city of Raqqa. The sun glimmers behind a mosque in Gaziantep, Turkey. In the small apartment, Mohammed opens a window and lets the sunshine hit his face. He shuts it. Mohammed answers, "Yes, Ibrahim?"
Ibrahim.
How are you, man? It's been a long time. Yes, where have you been? I can hear you. Mohammed rubs his forehead. Hello? How's the situation around Ain Issa? ISIS entered early in the morning. At 6 a.m., we could hear them chanting. Then, at morning prayer, you could hear the girls screaming. They were probably stabbed with knives. I heard that ISIS also took over the Al-Qudriya area. Is that true? He gestures to his groupmate. Write this down. I'm not sure. I know there are violent clashes happening. What's the approximate number of ISIS soldiers killed? ISIS soldiers between 20 and 40, but the resistance lost more than 100 people. I can go to Raqqa and get more information. The other member waves at Mohammed. That's enough. No, no, don't risk your life. All right, God bless you. God bless you. Stay safe. Mohammed exhales, then turns to the other reporter. Publish it. The guy nods, then scrolls through a post titled, "Raids on Raqqa and ISIS targets Ain Issa." He hits publish and it goes live. On the news, Raqqa is indeed being slaughtered and silently away from the media. This campaign is a reaction to this great silence. CNN, going inside the capital of ISIS.
Videos smuggled out of the ISIS stronghold and used by media outlets are the only way to see what life is like under extremist rule.
Videos designed to embarrass ISIS. Contrary to ISIS's claims that the so-called Islamic State is prosperous and thriving.
Raqqa 12. We don't just report the news. We sometimes produce awareness campaigns. We have a magazine called Daba. Men scatter posters and pamphlets. It has the same cover as ISIS's magazine, but when a person opens ours, they find that it's against ISIS. This drove ISIS crazy. In Germany, the metro snakes past buildings. Inside a packed train car, Aziz keeps his eyes down as he holds onto a hand loop. Later, on a platform with a group, Aziz digs his phone from his pocket. He steps aside. Yes, is everything okay? I can't hear you. You're breaking up. Aziz stands frozen. Now, a foggy haze hangs over a Turkish city, obscuring the skyline. The journalist Naci Jerf was assassinated in the city of Gaziantep, Turkey. Footage shows Naci teaching. Sources are saying that he was assassinated for his opposition to Assad and ISIS.
Naci Jerf was shot in broad daylight on a busy street in southern Turkey near the Syrian border. Jerf worked with a group known as Raqqa is being slaughtered silently.
In a safe house, a tear runs down an RBSS member's nose as he looks at his computer. He swallows and tenses his jaw, then wipes his face and rubs his eyes. He turns the computer towards another group member to show him a photo. The guy shuts his eyes and shakes his head. Now, dozens of people march down the street in a somber procession. They hold photos of Naci smiling. Mourners gather around his open coffin and touch his face. Naci's wife leans in, the flag of the Syrian opposition draped over her shoulders. Naci, you deserve joy. You deserve everything good. You deserve Syria. You deserve the ones who love you. You deserve freedom, Naci. Sarmad leans in to kiss his face. Later, they process with a flag over the coffin. There is no God except Allah. Allah loves the martyr. Men lower the wrapped body into the ground. They cover it with stone and cement slabs, then the opposition flag. On Aziz's wall, a photo shows Naci looking thoughtful, and another shows him smiling. Aziz's somber face is illuminated by his screen. We lost part of the campaign. A close friend to the group. A video shows Naci in front of a map in a classroom. And the fact that he got assassinated in Turkey, it was a shock for us. Two slender minarets rise above the Turkish city. Muhammad walks down a street. He picks up his phone. Yeah, Aziz.
Hey, Aziz.
Right. We need to get out of here. Yes, yes, really. The way they assassinated Naci at the center of the city, I can't live here anymore. The knife is up against our necks. I need to get my wife out. See you soon, God willing. He looks around as he crosses a street. At the apartment, he crouches near a closet as he packs his suitcase. He walks down a hallway. Rose?
Rose?
Muhammad's wife opens a closet and helps pack. You know, it's a good chance to see Germany. It's like we're spending our honeymoon there. Here's one more outfit. Oh, the fancy outfits. Let's see when we will dress up in those. We bought them in vain. He pushes down the clothes. Anything else?
No.
Muhammad zips up the suitcase. Rose holds the other end, and Muhammad finishes zipping it and stands it upright. Now, Muhammad, Rose, and another guy haul their luggage out to a taxi. A young man staying behind wraps Muhammad in a tearful hug. Take care of yourself. It's going to be all right. Muhammad climbs into the cab and the other guy cries and hugs his friend. Be strong. We'll be in touch, Yaqub. Yaqub's chest heaves as he watches them leave. In the taxi, Muhammad sits between his wife and the other man. He blinks away tears, then wipes his eyes. As the cab heads into a dark tunnel, the screen goes black. A lighter flicks on and ignites a small candle. Beside the dim flame, a laptop starts up. In the darkness, a figure logs in. RBSS Safehouse, Raqqa, Syria. The background of his computer shows the group's blood splatter logo. In a bright apartment, three external RBSS correspondents scroll through their phones. Sarmad furrows his brow. Something just came in from Raqqa. They just got word that ISIS is banning satellite dishes. Good God. Today they put up posters. The cell coverage is weak as usual. On his messaging app, an image of the poster comes through. He taps it. Here's the poster. It's about why people should destroy their satellite dishes. Tell him to be careful. I told him to be safe. In his apartment, Aziz answers his phone. Hey, man. I have photos and a poster about banning satellite dishes. Okay, ISIS put it up today. Okay, I will send it to you so you can publish it. In Syria, men tear down satellite dishes from the rooftops. Aziz types a post headline. ISIS separates Raqqa from the world. The article. ISIS is losing the media war. They have closed internet cafes, forbidden television, and any satellite dishes. They are severely restricting people's lives in Raqqa, especially our correspondents. They are trying to stop us from sending information out of Raqqa, and within it too. In Raqqa, men load satellites onto a truck, then toss them into a heap. So we decided to take the war to the street. At night, a group member pastes up a poster of an ISIS militant running away from a volcano. This is how we step on ISIS. Another poster. Syria is free. ISIS get out. A third poster shows a highway with signs. No ISIS, no Assad. Freedom forever. A group member swings the camera as another pastes up a poster. Where is he? Where is he? The motorcycle starts up and the rider cruises through the dark streets. RBSS Safe House, undisclosed location, Germany. In a living room, Aziz, Hassam, and Hamoud smoke as they watch an ISIS video on the TV. Since Allah created Adam, a war has been waged between believers and infidels, between truth and lies, between good and evil. This war has taken on many forms, one of which is the media war. So listen, you journalists fighting Islam and its state with your tongues and pens. Know that your work in journalism doesn't protect your blood. So stop fighting us, or you will meet the fate of those slaughtered silently by the soldiers of the caliphate. Photos show slain RBSS members and Naji Jerf in his coffin. Aziz points, slaughtered them silently. Hassam, is that Ferez? Aziz, that's Naji, and on the right is Ibrahim. And don't think that your presence in Europe will protect you. A sharp knife or a bullet in the head will be your fate. Hassam scoffs. Motherfuckers. Hamoud turns with a concerned look. Nighttime in Gaziantep, Turkey. A group of five RBSS members sit around a table in a restaurant. Last night, I couldn't sleep at all. I'm wide awake thinking, what's next? Sarmad gets killed, then Ahyad, Hassan, Muhammad, and then what? I started imagining being on an island and losing someone every day. Another member leans his head back. Do you think Germany is going to be safe? It will be relatively safe. Look, they can get to us anywhere in the world. You're constantly anxious. Yeah, my nerves are shot. he start hoping to die from natural causes. Right. They smile, then fall serious and look to their laps. In Germany, Aziz pulls on his coat and leaves his apartment. A state of fear has started to spread among us. At night in Turkey, RBSS members carry luggage down a stairwell onto the street. After Naji's assassination, we were able to get expedited visas from the German government. A correspondent rides in a cab. We need to get the group members out one by one. Another member rides a bus. At a German airport, Aziz wraps Mohammed in a hug and they kiss each other's cheeks. Later, they ride together in a cab. But for us, there may not be a safe place in the world. Mohammed's wife, Rose, looks nervously out the car window. In a subway tunnel, Aziz and Hassam find Sarmad getting off a train. What's up? Aziz hugs him and they warmly kiss each other's cheeks. Sarmad wraps Hassam in a tight hug. Hassam kisses his cheeks as Sarmad continues to hold him close. Glad you made it safely. You're all right, bro. It's okay, Sarmad. You're okay. You're okay. Later, Sarmad wipes his nose as they walk together down the train platform. You know, after getting out of Istanbul, I feel like somebody else. Well, it's good you didn't get lost. Later, Aziz and another member, Svef, walk outside with Mohammed and Rose. Is Berlin big, Aziz? Huge. It's not the same size as Istanbul, but almost. Really? And you will get a good laugh here seeing people who are drunk 24/7. You find those things here. Mohammed walks with Rose. Europe has open cities. They have no taboos. God help us. Open-minded. They walk past a poster of two scantily clad women touching each other's bottoms. Later, they board the metro train. It's all modernized and new. Inside, Mohammed stands holding a rail while Rose sits. He watches her look out the window as she adjusts her hijab and cracks a smile. She catches him looking and playfully lifts her brows at him. Svef strokes his goatee. In the evening, Mohammed and Rose stop to watch an accordion player. Let's give him a half a franc. He drops a coin in the basket and they head off. I hope we didn't just give him 5 euros. Yes, our life will be here. We can start a home, have a child, and he'll get citizenship.
No.
But not right away, right? Now. Yeah. Mohammed startles as Svef runs up and hugs him. Hello, Svef. How are you? You scared me. Come, let's go. They head off together. Good, you have started to roam the streets. Later, the group goes to a central plaza. Mohammed takes a smiling selfie of him and Rose. As they stroll the streets, Svef chucks a snowball at Mohammed. Rose covers her head. Not me. Defend us. Defend us. Another friend tosses a snowball at Mohammed. Then Svef chucks one at the friend. Svef goes for another snowball, but gets hit. Rose hides in a doorway as he sneaks up on Mohammed. Mohammed gets snow out of Rose's hood, and she brushes it from his. He shakes out his hands. Even their snow is different. A view passes a flat, snowy landscape as the sky glows pink. Svef gazes out the window of a train. Across from him, Mohammed types under a photo on his phone. We say goodbye with tears. Mohammed, we're out of Berlin already. Snow is everywhere in Germany. Rose dozes in her seat beside him. My wife likes winter, but I don't like it. I hate winter and cold. He looks out at houses with sloped roofs. That's what I expected the houses to look like. I hope ours looks like that. I like these houses. Svef gazes out the window. I don't care if it's beautiful or not. I just want a home. As the sun comes up, Mohammed rubs his eyes. Rose sleeps. The train jolts and she blinks awake. RBSS safe house, undisclosed location, Germany. A small room contains two bare cots and a table. Hamoud sits at the table on his laptop. His brother Hassan lies asleep in one of the cots, his long legs hanging off the side. Hamoud's eyes glaze as he watches a video of a young man sitting in grass. In the past 6 months, death has been the most common thing in my life. But I'm happy that Hassan has joined me in Germany. And I'm trying to be stronger because my life is about to change. As the video goes dark, Hamoud's grave reflection appears in the screen. In the daytime, he walks down a street past apartment buildings. I'm going to be a father soon. It's a boy. It's a big responsibility. I hope he will live a better life than we have, because we've seen nothing but bad things. We woke up in a world of war. We woke up in a revolution. He steps to an intersection. Our lives were destroyed. Wearing headphones, he watches a bus glide past. The least I can do is guarantee a future for my son, because I might not be alive in a year or two. He crosses the street. Later, he sits in a park and gazes up at the treetops. I don't want my child to struggle like me without a father. The moon glows behind a dark cloud. In a video, an army of young boys stand in camo gear and full face masks. They hold rifles and other weapons taller than themselves. This is our message. We are the young lions of the caliphate. We are walking on the path of jihad. We won't put down our weapons until we get one of the two, victory or martyrdom. The video freezes. Letters form an RBSS headline. Children are ISIS's firewood. The article, like other extremist groups, ISIS uses children in its war against its enemies. According to ISIS's fighting rules, each battle needs suicide bombers. Most of these bombers are children who have enthusiasm and do not fear death. In a video, a toddler cuts off the head of a teddy bear in front of the Black Standard. God is great. Chant. The child holds up a knife. These caliphate cubs camps are now present in every occupied city, brainwashing children daily. A child beams as he waves an ISIS flag, and preteen boys aim pistols at captives' heads. A militant leads a horde of children through the streets chanting, "The Islamic State has come to you." Raqqa 12. Even the streets have been turned into camps. I'm not just afraid of my children going to ISIS camps. Every moment the children experience here is a camp, even going in the street. The video of the kids running through the street is projected in a large room where Aziz presents to an audience.
ISIS cars are driving all the time to target the children.
ISIS cars are driving all the time to target the children, and they give games to them. They offer money, sweets, mobile phones, so something they can't get from their families. And they join because they don't have any choice.
Thank you.
Later, Aziz walks a hotel hall to a green room. I've been living in Germany for a year, and because my English isn't terrible, I became the spokesman of the campaign.
كنت أنا الشخص المتحدث في الحملة.
He sits alone at a table at the conference, wearing a suit.
بس كل ما يمضي وقت أكثر أنا بعيد.
But the more time I spend away from Raqqa, the more I wonder if we'll have a home to go back to.
إذا راح يظل لنا بيت نرجع عليه.
He looks around the room, then casts his eyes to the floor and chews his lip. Berlin, Germany. German flags wave in a breeze as hundreds of people gather at a rally. A guy in a black vest speaks. Germany must strengthen its borders. Increased immigration threatens our peace. Those pigs will learn how to run. People hold posters and wave dark flags with German slogans. And I tell you, they will get a one-way ticket back to Turkey.
One-way ticket into Turkey!
Deport them! Deport them! Aziz interviews. We're trying to make our voices heard and show people suffering, and that's all we can do in Europe. We're trying to exert pressure as refugees and as a Syrian community in Berlin. A guy marches. Love Germany or leave it. Love Germany or leave it. Aziz walks down the street, watching the march. A group of law enforcement officers in tactical gear block a group of protesters. In a reflective vest, Aziz goes to a group of pro-refugee organizers milling in the street. Hey guys, organizers, why are you standing here? Move to the right. Guys, please.
Please, one of these sides open to the people who are walking.
The group waves Syrian opposition flags, and a guy hoisted on someone's shoulders rallies the crowd. Aziz watches the marching German nationalists. Leave! Leave! A guy with a shaved head and tattooed sleeve walks by. The refugees wear solemn expressions as they stand on the sidelines, raising their arms as they watch the protesters pass. One holds a hand-drawn sign. Aleppo is burning. Another marcher takes pictures of them. Her phone case reads, "Fuck refugees." Another marcher in a nationalist sweatshirt shouts at standing Syrians. A refugee with red paint on his face sits on the curb holding an Aleppo is burning sign. He and the others watch as security moves along the shouting nationalists. Aziz shouts over commotion in a dense crowd as officers in helmets stream in. The group gets shoved back. The police restrain and escort out a shouting nationalist. A Syrian organizer holds back another refugee wrapped in a flag. He covers the man's mouth, then hugs him and pats his back. A police dog lunges and an officer holds it back. As the crowds disperse, a refugee stands holding a woman and rubbing her back. Aziz wears a heavy look as he peers around. Clouds travel over the sun as it beams down on a city. Frost collects on a window. RBSS safe house, undisclosed location, Germany. In a small, bare room, Svef video chats.
Hey, Abu Shif, تسمعني?
Abu Shif, can you hear me?
Well, hello,
you. Yeah, I can hear you. Hi, Precious, how are you? Great, we miss you. You're in half sleeves. I hope it's warm where you are. The house is warm, but look outside. He shows a window. Oh my God, snow. Mohammed on the phone. I traveled from Berlin to the city I'm in now. Yes, that's good. It's small, but they told us it is only temporary, and then they will transfer us to permanent apartments. Svef watches a video. He finds Mohammed and Rose in the next room. Did you hear about the airstrikes yesterday? Did you see the video that Aziz uploaded? No. Mohammed watches the video on his phone. The view sweeps around rubble and wreckage. Mohammed furrows his brow and pauses it, pointing to the screen. Isn't this Mohammed? Come here. Is that Mohammed? Rose steps over. Play it. Oh, this was your Uncle Fuzi's house. near your Aunt Shakria, Speth. Is this close to you? Rose points. We live at the end of that street. That's Mamoun's house, and that was our house. Is there anyone there? I don't know. Arbawi? You should check the names. I know, it's probably the uncles. The rest are in Damascus or Saudi Arabia. Muhammad holds a hand to his lip as he plays the video. Later, Rose looks at her phone on the bottom bunk of a metal bed while Muhammad sits on his laptop on the floor. Rose's eyes scan her screen. Tell me, Muhammad, do you know the family of Musa al-Achawi or Achawi? Yes, al-Achawi. What about them? They're dead. Oh my God. Rose covers her mouth. So far, there are 31 martyrs. He scrolls past photos of young boys and a woman. Dear God. Death and destruction. Rose's phone screen illuminates her mournful gaze. Then she flips it closed. At night, massive explosions light up the darkness. Flames and smoke rise up from the wreckage of a building. Letters type out an RBSS Post headline. Death chases civilians in Raqqa. Pro-regime warplanes carried out several raids in Raqqa, which resulted in mass destruction and civilian casualties. Aziz works on his laptop. More than 30 people were killed and dozens injured. One of the residents said bitterly, a few hundred ISIS terrorists are deemed justification to blow up thousands of civilians. Footage shows a whole city block reduced to smoking rubble, then civilians carrying out wrapped bodies. Daytime, Aziz, Hassam, and Hamoud lean against the railing of a bridge and watch boats on the river. They wait as a bicyclist passes, then stroll along a walkway. Hassam and Aziz check their phones, then Hamoud takes his out. Stop here. They step aside and watch a news video. As usual, the Islamic State quickly claimed responsibility for killing a Parisian officer. France is shaking in fear, and they are promised more soon as the soldiers of the caliphate continue to rape the crusaders. Hassam shakes his head in disgust. Fuck you. They continue on.
In France, ISIS has claimed responsibility for the fatal stabbing of a French police commander. French President François Hollande called the killing uncontestably a terrorist act.
The guys pass people watching news at a street cafe. Then Hassam, co-founder of RBSS, walks alone. ISIS is no longer just Syria's problem. We've already seen this danger reach Europe and America. People flee a smoking stadium.
The last 18 months has seen France suffer three deadly attacks.
Attack those infidels in your own ways. Make France and its allies tremble.
50 killed in that shooting overnight at the Pulse nightclub. Far and away the worst mass shooting now in American history.
Radicals who appear to have been inspired by ISIS.
A bomb goes off at a wedding and people scatter.
ISIS says it was behind a deadly attack in Berlin, where this truck plowed through a holiday market, killing at least a dozen people.
Hassam walks down a street in Germany. For 5 years, everyone has turned a blind eye to what is happening in Syria. Now the whole world is watching and witnessing what is happening. He takes a long drag of his cigarette. RBSS safe house, undisclosed location, Germany. Hassam opens up to Muhammad and Svef. Welcome. They exchange greetings. Then Muhammad kisses Hamoud's brother's cheeks. Hassan, my dearest. Sarmad greets Hamoud. How are you? Muhammad finds Aziz. Aziz, they kiss each other's cheeks. Big boss, give me one more. Later, embers glow on a hookah as Aziz addresses the group. I'm happy and excited. To be honest, I don't remember the last time we were all together. Take a picture, take a picture. Am I in there? Sarmad snaps one to Aziz. Only your beard is showing. It's in the picture. Aziz shows his arms. I'm not an astronomer, but I swear the sun here makes you whiter. We all got whiter, man. I always hide it. Let me tell you something. I don't think the situation in Germany is any better than Turkey. The men nod. Right. Mohammed, there was a protest yesterday in my town. Someone insulted us. That son of a bitch. He scared me. Be careful, be careful. Right, be careful. Hassam, okay, brothers. We have been receiving a lot of attention from ISIS lately. The more they are challenged, the more barbaric they are. They are cornered like a cat. They are trying to scratch everyone. The bombs will not end ISIS. ISIS is an idea, and this idea will continue even if they are done as a group. Today it might be Raqqa, and tomorrow somewhere else. Sarmad, so let's upgrade the work, because we have more experience in fighting extremism. The men nod. Yes, exactly. We should come out of the shadows and show ourselves to the international community. That's right. Show our faces for the world to see. Aziz wheels luggage, then a plane takes off. The battle between ISIS and us is growing every day. That's why today, when you search on Google for Raqqa, you won't only see what ISIS wants you to see, you'll find us. A cursor clicks through the RBSS website. Group members interview on the news.
Much of what we know about atrocities committed by ISIS in Syria comes from courageous citizens armed with smartphones.
The dozen activists are pulling back the curtain on the horrors of ISIS rule in their small city.
Mohammed Massara is a former high school math teacher who helped found the Raqqa group. I need to stay alive, Mohammed told us. Keep getting the word out.
It's not enough to expose the crimes of ISIS. We must also fight against their ideology.
The lesson we learned in Raqqa is that when one group falls, another will rise in its place.
Aziz addresses a packed room.
People want freedom and safety. And when they live in a world that is neither free nor safe, they are vulnerable to any group that promises them prosperity. Bombs will not fix this. Getting rid of ISIS will not fix this. We must create a government that speaks for the people. Thank you.
Other members of a panel clap. Now, a sea of skyscrapers glow at night. New York City. At the Press Freedom Award ceremony, Aziz stares out over the crowd.
It's incredibly, incredibly humbling to present the 2015 International Press Freedom Award to the brave men and women of Raqqa as being slaughtered silently.
With the Syrian opposition flag wrapped around his shoulders, Aziz shakes the presenter's hand and smiles as he accepts the plaque. He steps to the podium.
Thank you.
The ABC News table and others rise to their feet as they applaud.
Members of Raqqa is being sought silently are no different from any one of you. We love our home, and we have dreams of raising a family and living happily. The evil which began in Syria will not stop there. The power of good that is given to us by God should be used to confront the evil. We dedicate this award to our friends who gave their lives. We also dedicate this award to undercover heroes of our campaigns and the entire people of the city of Raqqa. Thank you.
The audience stands. In the lobby, Hamoud wraps Hassam in a tight hug. Enough, enough. Smiling, they separate. In a hotel room, Hassam, Aziz, and Hamoud do a dance. A woman claps along, then films on a phone as they hold hands and move their feet in synchronized steps. Now, the wing of a plane passes through clouds at dusk. After I returned to Germany, I learned that there is a new threat against me. Evening, an aerial view takes in the city of Berlin. Aziz stands on a balcony, smoking a cigarette. The statement said, one of the founders of the espionage group RBSS was on a television show in Berlin 2 weeks ago. Pictured here is Abdulaziz Alhamza. He is said to live in Germany. Aziz unlocks the door to his apartment building. So here is the question. Are there any jihadist lions in Germany who are able to murder the founder of this espionage group? The building door slams shut behind him. In the lobby, he unlocks his mailbox and sifts through ads. He finds a form letter written in German and Arabic. He reads it. The Honorable Mr. Hamza, we tried reaching and calling you today. Please call us back on the number mentioned above as quickly and urgently as possible. The Berlin Police. He shuts and locks his mailbox. A sign in German stands outside a Berlin police station. A view from behind a tree finds Aziz waiting at the steps. A woman steps out and greets him.
Hello.
The camera loses sight of them as they head inside. A guard tower looms over the precinct. Are you scared? Me? Honestly, I'm scared of the police because every time I was arrested, I was imprisoned and tortured. Three times with beatings, torture, and electricity. You? Yes. Your organization is famous, known. Can you understand why ISIS supporters want to kill you in Germany? This wasn't the first threat. I've had threats in all languages, through Facebook, Twitter. What did they say to you? We want to cut off your head. We want to kill you. What is your reaction to this threat? I have overcome fear. The blood and killing is the nature of my work. In the end, you're at risk and we want to protect you. I understand this and I waive this right. But don't you understand that this right you're waiving is the right you're fighting for? For me, this is not just about police and protection. Friends have died and others are at risk inside. And I would be in Germany getting police protection? We understand you, but this is not a good reason. You don't have to decide today. Sleep on it. It's your call.
Are you ready, Bashir? Good luck.
Thank you very much.
For your work and for your life.
I already wish you good luck. Thank you very much. For your work and for your life. Aziz leaves the station and makes his way to the metro. At his building, he removes his name tag from the outside buzzer. He unlocks his apartment door, steps inside, and peels off his jacket. He turns on a lamp in the corner of the living room. In a t-shirt and flat-brimmed baseball cap, he stands at his desk, working his jaw, then drops into the chair. He pinches the bridge of his nose, blinking as he stares at the floor.
So, I have some pictures. I'm watching these pictures all the time.
I'm watching these pictures all the time.
No one knows about it. These pictures.
No one knows about these pictures. Biting his nail, he stands and goes to his bedroom. He collects a few photos from his closet shelf, then goes to a bookshelf where he finds more. He sets a few back on the shelf, then carries the rest to his desk. He sits and sifts through pictures of his deceased friends, family, and fellow group members.
Sometimes I'm thinking, why them, not me?
Sometimes I'm thinking, why them, not me? He stares down at the photos in his lap.
RBSS is like my second family.
RBSS is like my second family.
Who thought that some guys...
From Raqqa, a forgotten city in Syria, would be able to do something.
We did.
We did.
And we are sure that our words... Are stronger than their weapons and their arms.
He gazes at a photo of himself smiling with Hassam and Hamoud.
Either we will win, or they will kill all of us.
Either we will win, or they will kill all of us. Aziz sits frozen, blinking heavy eyelids over his distant gaze. He turns to look up at a small Syrian opposition flag hanging above him. Trembling violently, he works a cigarette out of a pack and puts it between his lips. He shuts his eyes as he lights it. He inhales, twitching as he lowers the cigarette to his lap, then back up to his lips. He closes his eyes and takes a long drag. He inhales deeply, burning quickly through the cigarette. His whole body shudders. He shuts his eyes as another shudder racks his body like an electric shock. He sucks in his cigarette. He holds his shaking hands on his lap as more shivers course through him, then inhales his cigarette down to the filter. He leans over to put it out. He straightens and swallows hard. He looks at the pictures spread over his desk, then slowly stacks them with a trembling hand. Later, his eyelids fall closed as he sits slumped on his desk chair. His head tilts to the side. His grip on his phone loosens as he dozes off. It teeters in his fingers, then falls to the floor. Aziz awakens, then drops his chin to his chest. He leans forward, resting his elbows on his knees and holding the back of his neck. Text appears over black. Raqqa is being slaughtered silently, continues to operate inside and outside of Syria.
Hamoud,
let's take a selfie. Aziz and Hamoud smile. Damn it, I'm recording a video. In a hospital room, Hamoud gazes at a baby. How does it feel to become a father? I am happy. Did you learn how to pick him up? Not yet, no. Hamoud smiles as he strokes his son's belly. Enough.
Abbas.
Yes, come on, dear.
Yalla, habibi. Sallam ala ammak.
Say hi to your uncle Hassam, your uncle Sarmad. And to your uncle Aziz, who is filming. What are you going to name him?
Muhammad.
Muhammad, he is already named. After my father, may he rest in peace. Hamoud kisses the baby's chest. He straightens and starts to turn away, but can't take his eyes off his son. He cracks a smile. The sun reflects off the Euphrates River, directed, produced, and filmed by Matthew Heineman. Edited by Matthew Hamacek, Pax Wasserman, and Matthew Heineman. Music by Jackson Greenberg and H. Scott Salinas. Co-produced by Juan Camilo Cruz, Matthew Hamacek, Jodan Okun, Maya Seidler. Executive produced by Alex Gibney, Molly Thompson, Macon Baird, Elaine Fontaine Bryant, David Falco, Stacey Hoffman, Robert Chernow. Footage provided by members of Raqqa Is Being Slaughtered Silently. Co-editor Daniel Kohler. Additional editing, Nicholas Biagetti. Additional cinematography by Marcel Metalsiphon, Matt Porwall, Max Price. Assistant editor, Lola Khoury. Production assistants, Maddie Goldberg, Jordan Shopik, Nadine Shocker, Christy Stout. Local fixer, Mahmoud Albasha and Khalid Al-Hassan. Additional footage provided by Mohamed Zaidan, Carl Gierstorfer, Daniel Kohler, Dan Kraus, Amer Matar, Mazar Matar, Mohamed Noor Matar, Carlos Vasquez Martinez. Executive producer for Jigsaw Productions, Richard Perello. Post-production producer for Jigsaw Productions, Aaron Etikin. Feature films manager for A&D Indie Films, Christine Ketcher. Offline post-production facilities, Duarte Film and Video. Audio post-production provided by Gigantic Post NYC. Sound designer and re-recording mixer, Tom Paul. Sound editors, Leslie Bloom, Allison Casey, Ryan Collison, Joanna Fang, Eric Milano, Kevin Peters, Mark Phillip, Nick Seaman. Titles and graphics, Nicholas Biagetti and Colton Fortas. Color by RCO. Colorist, Seth Rickert. DI color producer, Shina Dow. DI color assist, Bo Kim. Music mixed and produced by Jackson Greenberg and H. Scott Salinas. Music editor, Logan Stolle. This film was supported by a grant from the Sundance Institute Documentary Film Program, with support from Open Society Foundations, Ford Foundation, Just Films, and Condescent Films. City of Ghosts, a film by Matthew Heineman. Copyright 2017 A&E Television Networks, LLC. Sunset Productions, LLC. Logos, A&E Indie Films, Our Time Projects, and Jigsaw. Description by Caption Max. A logo glows. Amazon Studios.